It's schus and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, it's Parshas Veschanon, such a jam-packed Parsha, so many things to talk about. But we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then as you all know, we're going to walk away with that yesod. That yesod that we could really apply to our life. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Veschanon, Parak Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Veschanon El Hashem Be'esahi Lemur. That I asked out, I implored Hashem at that time, saying, Rashi brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tefillah. All he wanted was to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a tefillah, please Hashem, let me in. Because I'll tell us, the Medrash says, that the Gematria of Veschanon is 515. My father loves Gematria. 515. And Hashem turns to Moshe and says, stop, don't ask again. Don't get to 516. Because if you ask, I'm going to have to let you in. And Moshe stops. Strange. Furthermore, Rav Soloveitchik, quoted by Rav Schechter in Nefesh HaRav, Parshas Veschanon, asks a gewaldic question. We know Klal Yisrael messed up with Chet HaEgel, and they did something bad. We've spoken about in Parshas before, how Chet HaEgel represented, how they just jumped to conclusions. Parshas Kisisa, they just jumped to conclusions. So ask the Rav, I don't get it. Why by Chet HaEgel did they get a kapara? Why did Hashem say, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum nechanun, the Yud Gimel Midos, as the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Yud Zayin, that Hashem gave forgiveness to all of Klal Yisrael. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader, wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't answered. He was able to save Klal Yisrael from Chet HaEgel, but why, when he wants to go in, is he not able to get in? And Hashem says, stop. What's that all about? Question one. Question two. Well, before the second question, I remember the Gevaldik story. This is not part of the question, so I'm sorry. Maybe we won't count it part of the time. But very interesting. I remember the Gevaldik story. Probably the only thing you're going to remember. No, you remember all the Torah, Baruch Hashem. But one of the only the story you're going to remember is from this. Because right in Parak Dalet, it says, Parak Dalet, Pasuk Beis, Lo tosifu al davar asher anochi mitzaveh eschem, velo tigru mimenu. You're not allowed to add on to any mitzvos, and you're not allowed to subtract, you're not allowed to take away. So there's a very interesting machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban of what are we talking about? If a guy just decides to stand on his foot for 45 minutes and says that's a commandment from God, is that an isser of adding to the mitzvos? So we have to see. Rashi seemingly would say it's not. Rashi says it's what it means to add is to take four parshas and say that there are more parshas, or to take Dalin Minim and to say that there's another min. That's the Isra of Baal Tosef. Okay, Ayin Shom. But a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, again, this is not a question, but the Gemara says in Shabbos, I think Chof Aleph, that how come the rabbis, whenever they add certain mitzvot, they're not over Los Osef, right? That they're adding to the Torah. We know the Gemara tells in the Makos, Chof Gimel, Chof Dal, that 613 mitzvot, the only thing we don't argue about is how many mitzvot. So how come the mitzvot of the Rabbonon are not Baal Tosef? So the Rambam writes in Mamrim, Parag Bey's Halacha Test, the Rambam's Gevaldik. Right, so many shurim just created where the placement. He was one of the best organizers. He was able to put things perfectly, and you could create the Rav Soloveitchik and different Givaldi Magidishir just created just where the placement of the Rambam is, Rav Chaim and the Briskorov, that they all were about focusing on the placement of the Rambam. And the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim says that there's no problem. If the rabbis would go and say a d'oraisa is a d'rabbanan, there'd be a problem. But to make an iser d'rabbanan, an iser d'rabbanan, the rabbis have that power. And then he quotes the pasuk, lo sevashel d'gidi b'chalev imo, that there's an iser to cook meat and milk together, right? And that's an iser. Now when I saw this Rambam, again connected to the Baal Torah, we'll fit this in somehow, don't worry. But when I saw this Rambam, I remember the following story. Right, the Gevaldik story. So my father's brother, Uncle Ira, right, his two brothers, Uncle Ira and Uncle Alan, Sadiqin, Bali Chesed, were starring, Uncle Ira, Fairlon, Uncle Alan, Gevaldik people, leaders of their community. So my uncle and my aunt were throwing down a simchit, and he asked me to lane. So I'm not the laning guy. Right? I'm not that laning guy. I told stories about the laning. I like laning, but I don't learn other things besides my bar to show up to him. I remember, but he asked me to do it, and I'm going to do it. I remember Jared Kushner, also a big righteous guy, big Balit Stucco, one of the most famous Jews in the world, Donald Trump's son-in-law. I always used to tell people, proud people, like he's my second cousin. He's really not related at all. My uncle, his nephew is, he has a lot of nephews, but I'm a nephew of Uncle Ira, and also Jared Kushner. I used to tell people that we used to be together on Thanksgiving. So my uncle had a Nintendo. I don't know if anyone remembers a Nintendo. So I remember playing Duck Hunt with Jared. I don't know if he remembers. I remember. And Paperboy, that game you throw the paper into the mailbox. I don't know if anyone remembers what I'm talking about. That was good times, the Duck Hunt with the game. Me and Jared, you know, shout out, get this to Jared, Gavaldi Yid, doing great things for Klal Yisrael, keep it up. So, he actually was sick, but he walked from his house, from Livingston, he walked all the way to do the laning, and then I went after him. And I remember on the pasuk of Los Vashel Gedi, it was the last pasuk in the Torah when I was laning, and I kept on saying it wrong. It was a little embarrassing. The fourth time, I finally got it right. I don't know what. I don't remember exact details, like what I said exactly right or wrong. But the fourth time, finally I said it right, but I said it out of the Torah, so that you can't read the Torah. Okay, nice little story. But let's go back. Baal Toysin, also a part of the Torah. Gevaldik, we gotta know everything. But, you read a little further on, in Perek Dalid, Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Torah says, "As Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim BeEver HaYarden," and Rashi brings down from the Gemara Makos in Daf Yud that Moshe Rabbeinu was separating Ari Mikla. We know Ari Mikla was a city of refuge that anyone that killed by accident will go to the city of refuge. Nosan Lev, he set his heart, Liot Charad Bledovar, to be determined about the matter. Sheyavdilu, that he should set it aside. Even though they're not going to provide refuge, we know that in order to provide refuge, it had to be that the ones in Eretz Yisrael also had to provide refuge. So three in Yarden, in the Jordan, and then three in Eretz Yisrael. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu choose this mitzvah? He wasn't going to really totally fulfill it. Right, Matos Masei, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, one of his last mitzvahs before his life. Ask the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, why specifically this mitzvah? Question two. Question three. Yaseres HaDibros. How can you have a Parshas Veschonon without the Yaseres HaDibros? So we know, if you don't know the Yaseres HaDibros, Chazard over, you got to know them. It's a very fascinating discussion amongst the Rishonim. Some people have a minute to stand. The Rambam says that if you stand, so then you're going to show just this is important, everything else is not important. Ayin Shum, you can find like 5,000 Shiurim on Yom Torah about this topic. But it's very interesting, because if you look in the Rishonim, how do they break up the Aseres HaDibros? So we all know, we were taught as little children, we were all taught that the way it's broken up, the Rambam says this in his beginning to Pela, Peres Mishnayis, the Rambam says that the first five is Ben Adam L'Makom, between man and Hashem. And the next five is Ben Adam L'Chaver, between man and man. And the obvious question is why is Kibbut Av Va'Em in in Ben Adam L'Makom. Comes along the Meiri, and the Meiri breaks it up differently. The Meiri says, no, really the way it's broken up is 1 in 6. What do I mean? Anochi is the first of the first five, believe in Hashem, and Lo Sirsach is the first of the second group. If you believe in Hashem, Lo Sirsach. If you kill someone, then you're not believing in Hashem. Again, he goes to Meiri, and the Saktoma goes through all of them. Right? For example, Shabbos. So 4 is Shabbos. 9 is don't be a false witness. So the Meiri says that when you showing Shabbos, you're testifying that Hashem created the world. So that's the Meiri. The Ibn Ezra goes a little different, and he says, no, the first two is Machshava, is thoughts. The next one, Lo Sisa, is Dibur. Then 4 and 5 is Shabbos, keep it up, and that's Maisa, it's action. And the next 5 is Lo Sirsach, Lo Tignaf, and Lo Tignov. Is all Maisa, is all related to doing action. Lo Sana Berechla Eid Shaker is that you shouldn't be a false witness. And the last one is Lo Sachmod, is that you shouldn't covet, as they say, and is a din in the Machshava. So I just want to come back to that the first point with the Rambam. What's the pshat? If you're breaking it up, Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, so why is Kibud Av V'Em in the first 5? So let's just chazer over. V'eschanon El Hashem. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu not answered to go into Eretz Yisrael, but by Chet HaEgel, he was? Question 2 is, what was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to accomplish by Ari Miklat? It didn't do anything until the last 3 took place. And now Aseres HaDibros, the way that we showed him, break it up in different ways, but still, how come the Rambam, how if we break it up, Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, why is Kibud Av V'Em in the first 5? So, Rav Salvechik, Rav Schechter quotes Rav Salvechik to answer up the first question, and he says a remarkable thing. He says that to answer up this question, we have to see what was the function, what exactly was going on. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was trying to save Klal Yisrael, he was trying to save Klal Yisrael as a tzibor, as unity, as a one nation, as the whole thing all together. And the power of the tzibor, the power of the unity amongst Klal Yisrael, says the Rav, is so much greater than the power of a yachid, than an individual. And although Moshe Rabbeinu was so great, he was the greatest leader that ever lived, he was the greatest Navi that ever lived, he was unbelievable, pe'el peh medaberbo, he spoke directly, face to face with Hashem, still, the koyach, the strength, of the tzibor is so much greater than the strength of one individual. And the Rav Salvechik says, that's what we say every time in davening. We say in the beginning of our Shemona Esrei, we say, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu. We all know, right? We love Jewish geography. We love Jewish geography. You can meet a new person, and we talk about this, where you're from, ba-ba-ba, the whole thing. And we loved, oh, that guy. We're 18th cousins. I didn't realize we're 18th cousins. I don't know what that means, 18th cousins, but we're 18th cousins. So we play the Jew, we bagel each other. I think that means like you sit and talk about lax. I don't know, whatever that means. And then you talk and says from Salvechik that Elokeinu v'Elokeinu, we play Jewish geography every time we daven. Our Hashem, the Shem we love, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Not only that, he's the father of Hashem, he's the father of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our Avos, Jewish geography, we're all connected. We're all together. That's what we're all about. The Koyach, we do it every single time in Shemona Esrei. It's very interesting. I heard from Roshon Raz, I heard on a tape, that MP3 tapes, they don't have tapes nowadays. But he said, it's very, if you look through all Shas, we don't see the names of Rav Moshe so much. We don't see the names of Rav Avram. We don't see the names of Rav David. Why is that? I don't know. If anyone wants to send me an email, give me a shout out. Did I give me an answer? I don't really know. We didn't give an answer. So send me an email. I'd love to hear. But if we have the Rishonim, or Moshe ben Nachman, or Moshe ben Maimon, Moshe was used for the Rishonim, but in the Tanam Namaron, we don't find it so much. So, but Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. I heard a Gavaldic thing from, again, you know, I quote Rishon Rosner a lot, Rivari Leibowitz, you know, Baruch Hashem, Zeke, you hear a lot of Torah out there, and why you Torah anytime, unbelievable stuff. So he told an awesome story about this. He said, a mashal. He said, imagine if you would take a monkey and you put him into the wilderness, and you say, go survive. Or you took a man and put him into the wilderness. Which one would be more successful? So obviously, the monkey would go and he'd find shelter and he'd find food and he'd find the whole thing. And then, you know, the person, the human being, would, you know, his phone is dead, he wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't be able to find it. It would be very hard for him. He's nervous to find food and the whole thing would be very difficult. So the obvious question, how come when we go to the zoo, everyone loves the zoo, maybe the monkey should come, we should be in the cages, some people should be in cages, what's up? But maybe the monkey should, because they're more, they could have survival. So of course, we sell Salanter, we sell Melokin, and we have Kayach Adam and Bechira, of course, I'm not taking that away. But what's the pshat here? So the pshat is that if you take 1,000 people or 1,000 monkeys, so what would be the difference? So the 1,000 monkeys, okay, maybe they would get together a little, but it would be more, they're similar to the one monkey. Everyone's doing their own thing. But if you have 1,000 people, 1,000 people getting together, there's a lot more that would happen. Obviously, they have to all get together, you know? People don't usually like each other, Chas v'Shalom, we do, kind of, right? But if you would get everyone together, and then you would try to figure out systems. Oh, you're the guy that can get the food. You know how to fish. You know how to do that. You know how to do architect. You know, and they would delegate, and they would try to work it out together as a team. Wow, because that's the kayak of the tzibur. I remember hearing, you know, there's Chochma in from the Goyim also. I used to see some shurim from shurim. I used to see some talks. If you ever want to see talks, TED Talks are awesome. And Tony Robbins, I used to get into Tony a little. He's a Gavaldic. I haven't seen him in a little while, but he's Gavaldic. He said a great thing. He said, you want to run a successful business, right? And businessmen also, what's up? So if you want to run a successful business and you want to have a big business, a lot of times someone's so focused on himself and what he's going to do. But again, we all have strengths and weaknesses. If he focuses on his strengths and he finds someone that does his weaknesses, so then he puts all of his effort into the strength, and then he has another guy that will focus on his strength, and everything will come together. Again, sometimes it gets more complicated, and everyone's coveted, and again, besides that, but if everyone is able to focus on their jobs and what they're good at, then you have a tremendous, tremendous company. A lot of times, a person has to do everything himself. But guess what? When you try to do everything yourself, you're not going to be able to accomplish. Even the greatest teams, right? The greatest teams are not based on an individual. If there's no supporting cast, if there's no group, unit, group togetherness, right? Let's go back. Me and my father would do these diehard Yankees. You know, I'm still a diehard Yankee fan. I give a shout out to my boy Elon. Elon, we used to go Yankee games together and all my friends. And yeah, we'd be crazy. If the Yankees had a lot of superstars, but if they didn't play together as a team, you could have the best pitcher. But if you don't have everything together, you can have the best first baseman. But if you don't have every position set, you're not going to make it. A team is unity. And all of Klal Yisrael, there's unity. We need to realize that we all have strengths and weaknesses, but we got to focus on our strengths. We got to get together, right? As I told that story about the orchestra, and the conductor realized that one guy, right? Uncle G sent me that nice email that we're all together, we're all one. And yeah, there are going to be the bigger people. There are going to be the superstars. There's going to be the post-Kimadur, the Rosh Yeshivas. But everyone has a tafkid because we're all together. So maybe the Ramosha Feinsteins will be the engines. But we're all part. With every single little part, you can't run a car without the little things. Without everyone in Klal Yisrael getting together, the Koch of Tzibur. You know, I taught in NC. I've been teaching in NC's Y-Kol the past couple of summers. So the director, he was my Rebbe in NC, so I call him Moshe Benevitz. He said a great thing. We just finished the camp's leaving on Sunday, and he had a meeting with all the morning Seder Rabbeim, and he said, you know, one thing is amazing here is that there's so many people with different hashkafas and different things and believe in different things, and we're not going to talk about them because we don't even make a hashkafa fight. I hear that. So, but so many different Rabbeim, but we're all together. And that's what we need from Klal Yisrael. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik says. You know why Klal Yisrael, after Chita Ego, there was a kapara? You know why? Because there was unity amongst everyone. Unity amongst everyone. Everyone playing a different role, but togetherness. And that's the answer to the first question. This unity amongst Klal Yisrael. Yochid is important, but you take your individuality and you put it together with the tzibur. That is so much greater. What about the third child? So, I saw a lot of shiurim going on in Tisha B'av, Gevaldik things. I just go to Rav Zev Lef in the morning to hear him darshan for hours, unbelievable. Then I saw different shiurim, Torah Anytime has a live streaming, different things. And I saw Gevaldik shiur, very big fan of Charlie Harari, really, he's been speaking everywhere. And he said a Gevaldik idea, and I think this idea, he wasn't answering this question, but I think with this idea, we're going to try to put it all together. He was saying that in life, we all have relationships. We talk about relationships a lot. And he said in life that a lot of times the relationship is a transaction. You give me, I give you something, you give me something in return. I go to the store, I give you money, and then I get the item. It's a transaction. And a lot of times, our whole lives are transactions. He said, obviously, the most important relationship besides the Ribbono Shel is between man and wife, and obviously the relationship of parents, which we're going to talk about in a second. But the relationship between man and wife, obviously, but it could, a lot of times it is a transaction. Sometimes people, you know, it's all about getting out of yourself, trying to help someone. Someone's giving you Shir Nesha Torah, and the guy with very long hair, I was in whatever, we're not judgmental, very long hair, and I, yeah, he raised his hand, and I'm like, okay, and he's like, you know, if each person gives 100%, not 50-50, 100% each, then you'll have an amazing, again, it's easier said than done, obviously. We have the ego involved, and we care about ourselves. And we should care about ourselves to some extent, obviously, but also we have to care about the other, especially if it's a spouse, that you give 100%. So it's hard, but sometimes it's a transaction. But he said there's one relationship that's not transactional at all. And that's the relationship between a child and a parent. Because what parents give for their children, and sometimes children don't realize it until their parents, but what parents give to their children is not transactional, because what parents do for their children, it's crazy. It's crazy what parents do, waking up in the middle of the night, dealing with dirty diapers and dealing with hard things and how to deal and money and helping them and the whole nine yards. It's not a transaction, because the kid can never give back to the parents. And yeah, you could give them nachas and all that things, but they're not looking for the nachas. A parent can't be looking for nachas, right? They have to do what they can. They have to do their shtadlus and speak to people and work things out. But that's not their goal. A parent's goal is to give. And that's what they do. Baruch Hashem, my parents. Right, shout out to my parents. I have to give them more shout outs to what they've done for me. Baruch Hashem, my parents. My father and my mother, what they've done for me. Wow. You just, it's unbelievable. And you know, what me and my wife are trying to get to our kids, it's hard, right? In Eretz Yisrael, the day ends at 1 o'clock in the afternoon the whole year. And then in summertime, they end at the end of June. So then they're off for 2.5 months. So it's been a long summer. That's why I teach in Eretz Yisrael Kollel. Baruch Hashem, I have a great wife. But she's with, and my best helper is my oldest. My oldest daughter, 12 and a half years old, but she obviously is in camp now, the last 2 weeks. So I, as he's like, oh, this ended, but life begins now. But my wife, with 6 kids constantly, and it's a whole day. They were in camp a little, but then the camps ended, and it's hard. and just to deal with kids. You know, I'm at home so much, but it's hard. But it's not a transaction. What parents do for their children, I wish my kids heard this, right? But what parents do for their children, there's no transaction. And it's the same relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We feel, unfortunately, we believe in our minds that I read a couple of Parak Tehillim, so now God will give me what I want. No, it doesn't work like that. It's not like ping pong. It's not like you do this. No. You got to have that relationship with Hashem. And Hashem loves us. Hashem wants great things from us. He doesn't need it. He's Hashem. But He wants that relationship. He loves us. He cares about us. Even when we fall, He cares. And I gave a shit and see, so I called the end to my guys. That even when you fall, and if you fall, but everyone falls. Ain't tzadik asher yaseh tovu lo yechtah. Pasuk in Mishlei. Everyone falls, but Hashem loves us. But it's not a transaction. We can't give something back to God, right? He keeps on, He's showering to us. He's giving to us. He loves us and He wants us to succeed. That's what it's all about succeeding, about Torah, mitzvahs, and Olam Haba. But Hashem loves us. He loves this personal connection. And that, I think, is the answer to this shaila. It's similar to the Sefer HaChinuch that he writes. That the whole Yesod is Hakaras HaTov, thanks. But it's a little deeper than that. It's realizing that there's no transaction. But you could build a relationship. And just like Hashem showers us with so much. And just like our parents shower us with so much. And God willing, all of us will shower to our children. So much. It's not a give and take. Maybe that's the pshat in this Rambam. Why ben adam lemakom for parents? Because that relationship you see from parents giving everything, all they want to do is to give to their children. That's all they want. And so too the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's all he wants is that relationship. What about the last question? And then we'll just put it all together. It says the great Chafetz Chaim, what was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to do with the Ari Miklat as Yavdil Moshe? Says the great Chafetz Chaim, even small accomplishments are important. We're not so nice to ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We look around the room, right? We know the famous Ibn Ezra, how can we control our... Right? How can we control our mind? The Ibn Ezra gives a hard answer. He says that just like if you see a princess, you're not going to, you know where you're going to marry. She's a princess. So to Hashem gives everyone what they need. And a person needs to realize that again, most people are not jealous of someone that's totally out of their league. Most people are jealous of the people that they think they're better than them. Like for me, like I'm going back to basketball, right? So you got your basketball, and I think I should be playing more than 10 seconds a game. And the guy that's playing, I'm better than him, so I'm jealous of him. Why does he get that? But if a person realizes that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us all what we need, that's what it's all about. And a lot of times we think we know what that guy needs. We got to learn another guy upright. No one knows anything about anyone. You have to realize that. That was a big thing I got from the class about therapy, is that we all have pshat and we all think we know everything. We're not Hashem. We don't know anything. There's an acquaintance of mine. He's a little younger than me. And no one knew the struggles he was going through. His family knew, but no one really knew the struggles he was going through. You know, a couple of little children. And then pitaom, out of nowhere, his wife was nifter, a 33-year-old guy that I know. And his whole life has turned, but we don't know. You know, even though he was giving shiurim and dealing with people, you don't know what's going on in his head. He didn't tell people about it. No one knows anything, so we have to stop judging people. We have to start giving the benefit of the doubt to people. And we have to realize that Hashem gives everyone what we each need. But when a person realizes that we got what we need, he has to be happy with his accomplishments. Obviously, there's so much more. But he has to be proud of his accomplishments. He can't just say, oh, okay, yeah, we could always do more. Of course, everyone could do more. But you need to be proud of yourself. We beat ourselves up. I feel like this is one of the biggest things nowadays. Is that we're not happy with ourselves because we don't compliment ourselves enough. We have to realize that the little things also, and that says the Chofetz Chaim is what Moshe is telling us. That although I'm not going to be able to finish the mitzvah of Ari Mikla, the other 3 years are going to be there, and I can't go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm a Yachid, and Hashem said no. I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael. But still, I do what I can. I do what I can. Says the Chofetz Chaim, who always gave the greatest mashals. You have a person, and diamonds and rubles are coming out of the sea and coming out. So what's a smart person? He grabs what he can. What's a person that's not so smart? He's like, I can't get it all. I can't. What? That's crazy. But we do that a lot. A person says the Chofetz Chaim, he writes in the footnote. A person's towards the end of Shmoneh Esrei, and he doesn't know where he was. Right? He had an awesome meeting at Shmoneh Esrei. You don't think about anything all day. All of a sudden, you get to Shmoneh Esrei, and you start thinking about everything. Your mind goes nuts. Woo! Crazy, right? Right? Rosh Hashanah says that all of a sudden he was in a place and he sees someone pounding on him. What's going on? I'm a rabbi. I'm getting beat up. No, he was in the middle of Slach Lanu. He's pounding himself. That's good, right? So right, well, that time, you know, you do Slach Lanu and Friday night davening, and then you like pat your chest like if you're scratching. I don't know if anyone knows what I'm talking about, but you do. Okay, fine, whatever. But no, you're the end of davening, and all of a sudden you're like, shoot, I didn't have kavana. So most people just say, oh, whatever, forget it, whatever, I'm all doing blah, 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 done. No! You gotta end tefillahs as a Chofetz Chaim. Wow, we gotta look at our accomplishments. We can't put down, we gotta put up. Because the more you put up, the more you do. That's the way it works nowadays. The more you do, the more you do, the more you do. And that's what it's all about. We read in the Torah, Nachamu, Nachamu, Yeshaya, Perek Mem. Pasuk Aleph. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami.
Nachamu, Nachamu Ami.
Yeah. Why double Nachamu? So everyone gives different pshatim. I think the Nachamu, again, we don't have the base of Migdash. We're getting there. We're getting closer. Getting closer and closer and closer. Our tefillah and our davening and our chesed is getting bigger and bigger. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. You know what these Nachamus are? I think the first Nachmu is like what we're talking about, is that we believe in ourselves, that we have this relationship, and we see the relationship from our parents, and how much our parents give to us, and how when we're going to be parents, and we're zeicha to have children, to give over to them, and to be a giver like the Rabbeinu Shalom, and this relationship that Hashem showers us with so much, and we need to start focusing on what we have, and how everything is so great, and Hashem loves us, and we have to look at our small accomplishments, like the Chofetz Chaim says. That's one Nachamu. That's consolement, because we realize that Hashem, He loves us, and He's with us, and He's with us constantly. But you know what the other Nachamu is? The Nachamu of the Tzibur. We need to put ourselves with the right Tzibur. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to show kavod to everyone. And even if you're different than me, still, it doesn't matter. We're all one Tzibur. We're all one team. Right? There's no I in team, but there's a me. I know, it's cute, but we're all one team. And if we realize that, we have one goal. The goal to bring the Shekhinah back. The goal to have the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaShekhinah. That's what the goal is. We could bring him home. Let's bring the Rabbeinu Shalom home. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. I was talking to my friend Elon this week, and he said, enough. I said to him, enough, enough. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. We need to bring Hashem into our lives. He's with us. He's always with us. We need to have the Beis HaMikdash. We need to have clarity back. We need to have the Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Let us realize from Parshas Veschanah and all the mitzvahs, all these mitzvahs, again, so many more, is Kriyat Shema Nistar, oh, Tefillin, oh, could go on and on and on. I'm not going to, but we can. But please, realize that Hashem loves us. Let's all bring Mashiach together. Let us all be connected. Everyone doing their role. Davening, learning, doing chesed, building relationships with people. And everyone should have an amazing, amazing Parshas Veschanah. And everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Good Shabbos.